but I've really been all over the nighttime as the night bird. I started here at the station on the 4th of July, 1966, and it was a total change of image. There was no such thing as a female disc jockey. And when AM and FM split, according to the FCC edict, WNEW-FM decided they wanted to do something different. They certainly couldn't compete with their own male jocks on the AM side. Some of the best in the business are across the hall over there and have been for a lot of years. So I guess it was the chairman of the board. Nobody knows to this day who came up with the first idea to have women. And I was among the very first. As I say, I started on July 4th, 1966, from 2 to 7 in the afternoon, and we were playing middle-of-the-road music, the kind of music that's coming back to some degree today. We were playing Frank Sinatra, Larry Elgar, all kinds of good things. But New York was just not ready for that music on FM, apparently. Certainly, New York was not ready for girls. But New York was ready for progressive rock. So George Duncan, a very astute gentleman, seized the opportunity and immediately turned the station upside down, brought in progressive rock. Unfortunately, the rest of the ladies got lost in the explosion. I am the only one that clawed my way up to the top of the tunnel again and survived. So in the beginning, I was on from midnight until 6, 7 days a week. Then I got lucky. It was 6 live and 1 tape. And eventually I graduated to 5 live and 1 tape. And then just 5 live. Then I was shifted from 2 a.m. until 6 a.m., which is an ungodly hour to have to work. But I enjoyed every minute of it. I came in every night just happy as a clam until this one particular night in 1970. It was the 18th of September. And when I came in, after the opening, I said, you know, I don't understand why, but I am so depressed tonight. And it was something I couldn't shake off. Now, ordinarily, I was never depressed. I still am not, and I would never mention it. But it was just something so strong that I couldn't help mentioning it. It went on that way for an hour or two until we got the message over the wire service that Jimi Hendrix had died. And indeed, a lot of people echoed that feeling, called on the telephone, said, yeah, you're right, it's a downer. And it was a downer. We lost something very unique and wonderful from the rock scene. However, Jimi Hendrix, like so many other greats, left the legacy of his music, which we can enjoy to this day. And this is always one of the all-time big requests with the Nightbird anyway, Jimi Hendrix.
Ooh, wait! Sure got the blues this morning, baby. Yeah, and I'm here to tell you about it. You might as well pick up on it. I'm a man, at least I'm trying to be. But I'm looking for the other half of me. I'm looking for that true love to me. But I ain't gonna search for nothing that's with me. Well, I'm trying to not to be a fool. Well, I'm trying to not to keep my cool, baby. Trying so hard to keep it together.
Certainly did. Jimi Hendrix and Stepping Stone. That's a single. And Richard and I were just discussing, I came out of my vault. I don't know that that ever was in an album, but the stereo, and that was dynamite. And in those days, stereo itself was enough of a novelty, and it holds up well. Jimi Hendrix and Stepping Stone at NEW-FM. It's 30 seconds past 9 o'clock. I'm Allison Steele, halfway through my two-hour celebration of the 15th anniversary of this wonderful, wonderful place. Some of the happiest moments in my life were spent surrounded by all these records and nice people. And from what you tell me when I bump into you on the street, you feel the same way. I brought enough records to keep me here for 6 weeks, of course. I will never get to all of them, but hopefully we'll touch on the kind of thing that we had the most fun with. One of the groups that came to my attention in the early days of progressive rock on a label called Charisma was Refugee. I did not know any of the people in Refugee, and nobody else did either. But one of the gentlemen was slated for much bigger things. I'm talking, of course, about Patrick Moraz. When Rick Wakeman left Yes, Patrick was the logical choice to join the group. And, of course, we all got to know him then. A very imaginative keyboard man, a very flamboyant member of Yes. Do you remember their wonderful concerts and their costumes and their energy? And this is the way Refugee sounded on their one and only album. We started the set here at WNEW 102.7 at 9:15 with Refugee, their one and only album, Cut Called Papillon. And, of course, that was Patrick Moraz, who probably has the fastest fingers in the business, always did have. Although, you can't say that Keith Emerson couldn't give him a very good race and possibly beat him. We went right to Nutcracker by Emerson, Lake and Palmer from the Pictures at an Exhibition album. And then the voice of John Anderson, of course, who was the lead vocalist with Yes. But the background, if it sounded like Chariots of Fire, as Richard pointed out, it was and indeed is Vangelis Papathanasiou. Very few people know his last name. He hasn't used it since his great fame, but then he didn't use it in the beginning either. It was John Anderson who put me on to Vangelis a long time ago. He sent me the first album from England. I liked it, you liked it, and it became a staple item on the night flight. We played a lot of it, and that was one of the most popular cuts, I suspect because it reflected a feeling that was prevalent in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. We all felt that very abstract, searching feeling, and music that reflected it was always very popular. Witness, Yes, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and Vangelis, certainly with the NEW crowd, and that's what counts. There were a lot of light moments, and I must say that progressive rock, much more than what rock has become today, was diverse. We enjoyed the kind of, I called it almost a symphonic sound, with the big, fat keyboard sounds. But we also had, naturally, we had the lighter country-oriented rock, like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. We had Poco. We had so many of those groups. We had folk music. You had Judy Collins, Joan Baez. I mean, the list is endless. I don't know how many albums are in here now. There was 12,000 when I left, and there's probably 24,000 now at the very least. But a very important segment of that early progressive rock sound was left over from almost rockabilly. It was a funky sound, a little bit of Western, a little bit of rock, a little bit of everything. And I think it is best demonstrated by this cut from what used to be called Sir Douglas. You remember him. And then he became just the Doug Somm Band. And this is the sound that was easy to take and a lot of fun.
Okay, shuffle. I run it. G, a one, two, three. No more.
Some of my happiest moments were spent prancing around the studio to that one. I remember any night that I really wanted to feel as if everything was all right with the world and I needed a shot in the arm. I never smoked. I mean, there were people that swore that I was stoned out of my mind for years. No, I never indulged, and it wasn't a moral judgment, as I've told you many times. It was just that I never needed it. All I had to do was play Statesboro Blues by the Allman Brothers, and that was... It was like the best effort in the world. Before that, we heard Doug Somm, Sir Douglas, and Papa Ain't Salty at NEWFM 102.7. It's about 28 minutes past 9 from where I'm sitting on the clock, and that puts me in the home stretch here of our two-hour anniversary salute. And, there's one more record I want to play here with a story. Bring you up to date on the weather first. It's going to be clear and cool tonight with a low in the mid-40s and sunny tomorrow, high in the mid-60s, much warmer than today. Tomorrow night, fair, low in the mid-50s, and Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Right now, it is clear. The humidity up 46%. The winds from the southwest at 12 miles an hour, and it's 52 degrees. This is one of my favorite stories. When I first started at the station and I was on in the middle of the night, I was also music director. I was the first music director when we went progressive. Richard followed me. He was the second. No?
Or third or fourth.
No. It was Mike. Big Mike followed me, and then you followed him. At any rate, Richard, as a matter of fact, was my discovery. Did you know that, folks? When I was on the air here, he was at WLIR. He was the program director or the general manager of the station. He and Mike Harrison ran the station. They were very young, and they were wonderful. And I sat there with my mouth open, looking at the great job they did. And I came back here and said to Scott Muni, I guessed it on a show last night. Two guys, they're dynamite. I mean, we should have them. And we did. We did. At any rate, when I was in the library, that was the first year of the Concerts in the Park, Ron Delsner's, the Schaefer Festival, right? And it was decided then that the new kid in town, WNEW, were going to send their rock jocks to MC these rock shows in Central Park. Now, I had never been to one of those things, and I didn't know what kind of animals came to those shows. I drew the second one. Jonathan, unfortunately, drew the first one, and somebody, just as he opened his mouth to speak in a hushed atmosphere, yelled a vile obscenity at him, and it took Jonathan many, many years to walk out on a stage. Again, perhaps to this day, I haven't spoken to him lately, but for years he would never go out unless he and I were together. We were always been very close because I followed him on the air. At any rate, he got the first week and was totally blown away, but didn't say anything to me. So I walked out on the stage to introduce a group that I didn't know. I mean, nobody knew them very much. They were called Faces. And they had a lead singer that was kind of wiry, British, and slightly nutty. And as I was introducing him, he stood behind my back and made an obscene gesture, which got a big laugh from the crowd. And I was mad. I tell you, I was embarrassed, humiliated. My ego was shattered, and I thought, if I ever see that kid again, I'm going to nail him right to the wall. Scene changes. About 2 months later, this very same kid walks into my record library here at NEW with his first solo album under his arm to ask me, the music director, to put it on the air. And I said, you want me to play your record? I mean, it's the kind of thing you pray for. I was savoring, watching him squirm and sweat. And then, so he always had such an engaging personality. He dropped to his knees, folded his arms, and said, please, please, please. And of course, I broke up and played the album, and the rest is history. I didn't make them, of course, but I felt real good that I was there at the beginning, and Rod and I are great friends today, and I then introduced him at almost every one of his concerts at Madison Square Garden, and neither one of us will ever forget that incident. So whenever I see a new Rod Stewart record, I am just delighted to introduce it, and here it is, the newest.
As it's always brand new.
Rod Stewart, and that's hot, really a hot cut. It just came in today from the new album. There he is. The album's called Absolutely Live. I think it'll be a double, which he told me about in July when I saw him in Los Angeles. And this one is Guess I'll Always Love You. Rod Stewart, he does get better. Boy, he has improved with age, like old wine and old women and old cheese. No relationship between the three. This is Allison Steele, and of course you're tuned to NEW FM in New York, where rock continues to live and I guess will always live. And we'll get to the next leg, or I should say the final leg in our nostalgic trip tonight, right after these messages.
Experience the thrill of MCS Stereo for the senses from JCPenney. Now on sale, the MCS 25-watt system, 25-watt receiver with LED wattage meter and tuning indicator, powerful three-way speakers and belt-driven turntable, all just $299.80. You save $220. MCS Stereo for the senses, only at participating JCPenney stores.
With the cost of the college I want to go to, a part-time job won't make a dent. What am I going to do?
Work your way through college before you go to college by joining the Army. With the new Army College Fund, you can accumulate up to $15,200 for college in 2 years, up to $20,100 in three. Be all that you can be. Ask your recruiter about the Army College Fund. 'Cause we need you. Paid for by the U.S. Army.
Crazy Eddie's going video crazy. That's right. Crazy Eddie's going video crazy with the absolute lowest prices anywhere on anything and everything in video. Beta and VHS video recorders, giant screen TVs, Sony Betamax, even TV cameras and video disc players. Shop around. Get the best prices you can find on video. Then go to Crazy Eddie and he'll beat them. Nobody but nobody can beat Crazy Eddie's prices. 11 great locations. Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Syosset, Paramus, East Brunswick, Union, Westchester, Westbury. And don't forget, Crazy Eddie services and repairs everything he sells in his own factory-authorized, professionally staffed service centers. Crazy Eddie's going video crazy. Now's the time to get the video equipment you've always wanted. Crazy Eddie, his video prices are insane.
And if you've got an Atari home video game, you won't want to be without the new Space Cavern game cart from Apollo. Crazy Eddie's got Space Cavern now at an insane low price. Call Crazy Eddie at 212-645-1196.
When I get bored, I got my tools.
I won the race, I got my tools.
I'm feeling good, I got my tools.
Mom's on my case, I got my tools.
My sugarless jewels. I got flavor so tremendous. I got taste so stupendous. I got flavor, I got taste. I got jewels.
Jules Sugarless Gum is center-filled with great juicy flavor in spearmint, cinnamon, and bubble gum.
I got flavor, I got taste, I got Jules, my Sugarless Jules, I got Jules.
There was one feature on the Nightbird's flight. I don't know when it developed. It's one of those things that kind of evolved. And as I said before, it was the time. Everyone, down to the last man or woman, college students, everybody was introspective in the late 60s, early 70s. Everybody did a lot of thinking about who they were and where they were going. And I tried to help as much as I could through the music, the idea of allowing people to forget everything that was happening during the day and maybe then be able to look inside themselves and have some insight to get the answers to the questions that were in those days so pressing, so oppressive too. So I developed what I call the space.